Members, I would like that we start with the presentation of the National Heritage Council. Sorry. Because both two presentations, I think, were overlapping. They were actually overlapping. So the things maybe you want to raise, you can also still raise it on the end when the presentation is finished, when we engage and elaborate on the presentation, and to, because also to save time. What was it, Taylor?
I'm aware, thanks, Chair. I'm aware that we don't have time, but I only had one question here, and it's not going to really form part of this coming presentation. It's not going to be, you know, fitting there. Can you please give me a chance, just one, and it's not going to be long, and I think it is important.
I will accommodate you as long as they answering that point on when we come to the last responding. When they respond on the second presentation, then they can accommodate that question of yours. I mean, they will be still here in the meeting if you allow me on the level. It is fine. Thank you very much. Then I will give over to the National Health Council to give their presentation. Thank you.
Honourable members of the committee, we are so thrilled by this opportunity to present this national legacy project called Liberation Route, with transnational implications beyond the borders of this country, covering SADC and African continent as a whole. The menu of my presentation covers the following: the concept itself, the historic cabinet submission resolution, the implementation framework of that resolution. I'll also talk briefly about the conceptual framework, the pilot project, the province, and then way forward. I can say, honourable members, that some of the questions that were raised here are going to be covered by this project, by this presentation. And I also take it as Honourable Member Chabalala said that we don't just come here to present Shumayela, you know. We come here to also listen, you know, to come of some of the ideas that will come. That, as we do our work, you know, that the Portfolio Committee has spoken, our oversight elders have mentioned some of the things, and therefore we must take those into consideration. Now let's talk about South Africa as an over-abbreviated society. And sometimes we take it that people are aware about certain, acronyms. And it is important to clear that slide that whenever I talk about LHR, I'm talking about the Liberation Heritage Route. The DEC may define institutions. There's the Inter-Ministerial Committee. There's SADC. What is SADC? It's one of the critical institutions of knowledge production, South African Democratic Education Trust. Other acronyms are self-explanatory, like SADC, FEDSO, Federation of South African Women, of course, AIMS Youth League, IFP Youth League, Brigade, and all those things. They are CPSA. The Communist Party of South Africa, the PAC, SACTU stands for the South African Congress of Trade Unions. There's what is called Textile Unions today, which is not SACTU itself, but it's also called SACTU. But this is SACTU, which is an organization that was established long time ago before COSATU was established. South African Communist Party, that you know, MK, SARA, NACC, it relates to the Native South African Native National Congress, before what is called African National Congress. Now, when it comes to the concept itself, this concept is really configuration of sites. It's about people who participate in South African liberation struggle, recognizing people, communities, icons, places, and sites, and along with epoch-making stories. In the liberation route, we like to use the moments or epochs. Then names, people follow. That's why the issues always emphasis on epochs. You know, there was an epoch of, for instance, the wars of dispossession, which may, with sites, with people, with all of this. You know, then there's an epoch, for instance, of early modern African intellectuals, where you talk about, you know, people who contributed to the might of a pen. And, you know, the Black Consciousness Movement, the birth of the, you know, the modern liberation struggle, the organization like the ANC and so forth. And so those are the types of some of the things that we're talking about. Hence, the issue of epoch making stories is important. Then people follow, places and so forth. What will this route provide? It will provide a storyline for the movement and continuity of anti-colonial struggles in terms of space and time. As I said earlier on, that when we talk about a story, there must be a place where it took place and time where it actually occurred. Of course, I talk about the dialogue of civilization, the dialogue of experiences, you know, across South Africa and as well as transboundary coordination of the national liberation route. As I said earlier on, that it will be shown that this liberation route transcends South Africa. Botswana, Zambia, Mozambique, we've been talking about some of those sites here. But what is important is the era and epoch and moment of that, those episodes. Then the LSR project was approved, of course, by Cabinet following the announcement by the President in the State of the Nation Address that South Africa would undergo a comprehensive telling of the history of South African liberation struggle. We draw a line of difference between heritage and history. In history, you talk about historic records of the past, but in heritage, it is that which we must celebrate. Some of the things that have happened, we cannot celebrate them. But there are those that we say that they reflect the values that we must then promote going forward. Then there's that. Sometimes people confuse what is history and what is heritage. Then, what is the cabinet resolution? The cabinet resolution, actually, as you can see, it instructed the DAC and National Heritage Council to develop a conceptual framework which the liberation route will be in the integral element of. In other words, the guiding theoretical framework based on existing historic records and cultural research. In other words, this project relies on knowledge. Research becomes a cornerstone of the project. And that research must be done not just in university, somebody sitting in a university, but it must be done through a comprehensive storytelling exercise, community, engagement, what is called community dialogue, and as well as recognizing unsung heroes and heroines. It must also contribute to healing of the nation, because there are people whose stories were never told. There are people or icons whose stories were told to the world and therefore healed. But there are those, when you come across the issue of pain is addressed to this project. There's nothing as dangerous than leading an angry nation. The Minister of Arts and Culture must then convene an inter-ministerial committee consisting of ministers of science and technology, basic education, public works, tourism, and cooperative governance and traditional affairs. This IMC, noted in abbreviation, Inter-Ministerial Committee, must then consider a parallel project which must put emphasis on establishing a strategy to deal with infrastructure I think cabinet was mindful of the fact that not everything can happen at the same time. You talk about overhauling South African history, but there must be some pilots, you know, to say that this is a prototype project. This is what you want to do. Because if you have theory of the time, it get lost. It must, at some point, you must demonstrate. So that was actually the cornerstone of the resolution of the cabinet, which actually guides a lot of the work that we have undertaken in this project. Now, I'm just going to briefly talk about the progress ever since the implementation of the cabinet resolution. What have we done, to take that forward? Of course, working with the JEC and the relevant institutions, the conceptual framework based on existing historical and cultural research has been developed. So we have got the historical framework already, which guides this project. As I said, that this project relies on knowledge production, and SADC has been very instrumental in ensuring that we move from a grounded perspective, theoretical exercise, to say, what is it that we want to achieve? I think SADC has not just reinvented the wheel. I mean, there's a lot of research that has been done about South African struggle, you know, but what they have done was to, you know, catapult a lot of work and into, you know, a desktop and say this is the theoretical perspective that, guides this project in line with the pillars of the South African liberation struggle. You know, how did people contribute to this? There were those who are inside the country, that is, those who are in the underground network, the mass mobilization, international solidarity, and as well as armed activities. And all these intertwined or interwoven. Then the three pilot projects per province have been identified. I spoke of pilots, two consultations from some provincial departments charged with their heritage matters. I think something you know and remember that heritage is a shared competence in terms of, I think, Schedule 5 of our constitution. That means that every sphere of government has something to do with heritage. That's why you find local government initiatives, provincial governments, and the national governments. But the emphasis here on the liberation route is that we should use the model of the liberation route as a guiding framework to say that if municipality wants to do this and that, through maybe grants, municipality grants and so on, you must be able to channel resources but using this framework in the ITPs and so forth. And that has been happening very well. I can make an example. About since we introduced this project, we've been working with a lot of municipalities. I mean, Christian Municipality has already identified 56 sites that are part of the liberation route. And what is important about this project now also is going to spread what is called the focus from cosmopolitan cities to, more especially historical marginalized areas, the rural communities of our country, you know, and then where there's been no... there's a lot of history, but abstract spaces. Now, through this project, those abstract spaces will be converted into strategic development nodes. You might have seen Beata Peterson, Sharpeville, and so forth, Vilakazi Street. But if you go to another place in Upington, you go to another place somewhere in Kajana, in Transkei, you'll find a lot of heroes there, but there are no spaces that are still abstract. So this project now, at least, helps to turn those into strategic development nodes. Well, when I take in a business plan, we started with a business case, which shows that looking at all the sites in South Africa, even some of them outside the country, what will it take to turn them into strategic development nodes? We use a base of what is called looking at as-is analysis. You know, what is there? What do you find? And we came up with that business case show that you will need about 8 billion rands in the country to turn these sites from abstract spaces into strategic development nodes, taking into consideration of an uneven development processes. As I said, I made an example about maybe Solomon Mahlangu or Hector Peterson, that there might be some development taking place, even economic activity taking place, but in some of the sites there is not. The business plan, which... of course, connect strategies on the development of heritage tourism facilities. I think one of the members, Sunduza, spoke well about this. But the issue is we want to breathe life to these sites so that they indeed there's some economic activities that are taking place. The development of business plan included two-tier provincial consultative meetings, the DAC. This pro- subject is very sensitive. Hence, we emphasize on research, find consultation, 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 every time. The business plan was presented to the technical committee. That is, there's a structure called technical committee, HOD, seat, periodically, and also MINMEC. So, with all that reference system. I'm not going to stay long here. This is a conceptual framework that I spoke about. That is, it was developed, of course, the business plan also reinforced that theoretical framework, presented to the ministry, and the ministry resolved that the research should be ongoing, and therefore GEC entered into formal agreement with SADET. I mentioned SADET, that is a research institute. So that work has been proceeding very well. The reason why you are linking the research and as well as the business plan is that you want to find synergy, that your actual work or pilots should be governed by a theoretical framework. Because you are talking about history, as much as you are talking about we want to empower communities, but there's issue of knowledge about their people's history. The minister further resolved that the task team should identify an implementation framework which could include provincial route approach, selection of anchor sites based on their significance and potential to attract tourists. Now, there's an exercise that the Department of Arts and Culture, working with the National Research Council, of course, and SARA, to ensure that there's consultation in provinces. So as a model of actually of choosing the sites, that should actually form, that should be part of the pilots. One of the milestones is that we've managed to put this collaboration route, as part of UNESCO alternative listing exercise, and that's part of the milestones. But I'm going to talk briefly also about that process, because sometimes people they confuse the issue of sites that or international inscription process, and as well as what you call development of the inventory, and our own national memory, South Africa. And that is very much important. They should draw the line, that some of the sites will be candidates for international enlistment, and the process now of declaration to be World Heritage Sites. But here we're talking about ensuring that there's memory in our country. We're able to improve our national state, that it's become balanced and representative. And I've spoken about the pilots, but I'm still going to cover. You'll see, honorable members, that we are now at the stage where we've identified pilots that will actually, inform what you want to do in the long term. The framework that has been adopted with a thematic approach where the site identification can be guided by a common narrative thread that unites provinces. So there has been a guiding framework, even looking at the pilots themselves, so that provinces, you should not have a confusion, where provinces, for instance, just choose one a threat, or you find that maybe walls of dispossession, every province is talking about walls of dispossession. If one province is emphasizing on walls of dispossession, another province must talk about the modern liberation, maybe. There must be maybe a reflection maybe on, other threads, women, sensitivity to gender, and then many other dimensions of the South African liberation struggle. So that thematic approach has really helped us in that regard. Whilst on the conceptual framework, which I'm not going to tell much on it, have I said that framework has been done by SADET, which has helped to guide the theoretical framework or the conceptual framework. We have managed to establish the rationale for the liberation route and its monuments and sites as recognition and commemoration of celebration of liberation struggle. One of the questions that has been posed by one of the honorable members here was the issue of monuments and sites, which I think is something that is very much important, more especially on monuments, which this theoretical exercise is going to make open our brains now to say that, why do you correct certain things that are happening? For instance, drop we have come across a situation where there have been complaints in certain communities, defacing of monuments, for instance. As you can see, Steve Biko monument was defaced. You know, you go to Dagan village, was, you know, and the number of other monuments. Then the issue, why we're saying therefore that this project is going to help us correct those. Now let's go back to basics. The white paper spoke about this, how to ensure that you involve communities instead of just a technical exercise of crafting, you know, a monument and so forth. So those that's the framework that really guides us. I'm not going to spend time on this, members. In your own spare time, you'll go through this framework, which really talks about, because here you don't just want to talk about tangibles without talking about the history of South African struggle, you know. The history of South African struggle should actually guide the tangibles. In other words, intangibility of this project becomes very much important. It lies in this point in the theoretical expose of the history itself. And as one of the members said here, that sometimes we assume that the South African liberation or South African road to freedom, that's the terminology that is being used by UNESCO, road to freedom is understood by everybody. And we sometimes we say it's kids who don't understand it. And you'll be surprised how even the elderly sometimes can grapple with issues of understanding the road to freedom in South Africa. Hence, that theoretical framework becomes very much important. We also want to ensure that this informs even our education curriculum. I like what the previous governments have done. I mean, I grew up in a Bantu state, and we all knew who were the ministers. We all knew who were, you know, even deputy ministers and so forth. We knew who were members of parliament, as they always growing up in standard four. But if you look at today, you know, that people don't even know their own, you know, members of parliament and so forth. And what has happened in that regard, take credit to what previous governments have done, and perhaps the things that we cannot just throw with the bathwater. So those are things that this project must really change, that dimension of understanding who we are and understanding the current framework. The issue of conceptual framework, the framework highlights gender and liberation. I'm not going to talk about this because it's all in the – there is a baseline exercise or test of exercise that has been done. And a lot of members can read this at their own spare time. Now, this slide actually talked to the multi-level sites nature of the Liberation Route. The Liberation Route is a multi-dimensional project. I think this is very much important. The multi-level nature of this project says that there is international process, there is national process, of course, provincial and local. So you are talking about a multi-dimensional process. I've included this slide. I'm sorry it might not be there, but because it came up from members here, we thought that let's include that slide. That's to delineate exactly what I'm talking about. Here's it. There's a watershed level, which is the watershed site. At the moment, we are discussing how that, which model are we going to use? Are we going to use Syrian nomination? In other words, expanding on Robben Island as an anchor site and include other sites. That would then form part of the world heritage, element of the route. Then in the Research Council at the moment, there's even an office of a world heritage specialist advising on that. How do we deal with that? And already, this project is growing quite monumentally. We have already been, we have a go-ahead of the OAU, sorry, of the AU, former OAU. We have a go-ahead of SADC. We have done a lot of tremendous work in that process, which you call a BEAT, you know, of that is the World Heritage status. Then there's national heritage sites, sites with provincial significance and local heritage sites. What our sister organization will do is currently doing at the moment is to align their strategies to ensure that there's grading of those sites, you know, and also declaration of the sites in line with the South African inventory, wherein then those who qualify to be on the World Heritage status list, then you'll have nominating those their processes and so forth to ensure that that work proceeds. So I thought I must include that honourable member Chairperson, honourable member Suluza, because it touches the issue that we've raised, that you might have a situation where there's a side that we may not be talking about, that it doesn't mean that it will disappear, because each and every province has been asked to consolidate their own chapters. Eastern Cape has got a chapter, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, and so on. And, you know, they all have provincial chapters and task teams. Well, this exercise, actually, we've emphasized in the community that it's not just about World Health Street. I'm not excited about the World Health Street site. What must be excited about comprehensive story of our history, unearthing history, unsung heroes and heroines, healing of a nation, and so forth. The issues of place names and many others. I agree with the honorable member who spoke again there that you're not doing this thing just for economic activity. Economic activity must take place, but at the same time, I mean, countries go to war because of their own heritage. The war that has engulfed Palestine and Israel is not just about material issues. It is about recognition. It's about identity. So when people feeling that their identities are not respected. Now, let's now go to Mr. Mdigano will help me here. Ne? Yeah. I spoke of pilots. There has been rigorous consultation in provinces. It has not been easy to agree on pilots. As I said, what we did from national was to say to provinces, use the following guide in order to come up with pilots. I explained that for a long time we've been talking about the history or South African road to freedom. But there must be a demonstration, exactly, you know, so that there is some, can I say, resemblance of really what we want to do. What's the model of identity coming up with pilots? It was said that each province must identify what is called an anchor site. For example, in Gauteng, the anchor site is Freedom Park. Anchor site is a site where already there's something happening on it. So that we can be able to benchmark what you want to do in others. Each and every province has an anchor site. Freedom Park, as you know, that we like to include narratives so that you don't assume that people know it, you know. That is a site that was officially launched. It epitomizes reconciliation in South Africa as symbolic reparation. As what was a resolution of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that South Africa is not going to follow reparation, but we are going to have a situation where, you know, there are certain things that are built that are symbolic, places that are going to be named in order, you know, in order to recognize the role of our heroes and heroines, unlike in other countries where people were thrown into, you know, all the courts and, you know, up to the International Court of Criminal Justice. But South Africa has recognized that site actually epitomizes that milestone of South Africa. Counting again, okay, what will be done? In front of how can see this? We can see that the site has not yet been declared as the construction is not yet completed. I think they're on the last phase now. And one of the SARA priority projects. Why in Gauteng, the Sharpeville? When Tom Sharpeville came up to the 1969 massacre, 1960 massacre, and of course, now currently called Human Rights Day. Located in Vesu Street in Sharpeville, opposite the police station where the shooting took place, Sharpeville exhibition promises to communicate the tragic incident to visitors. You can see it's one of the, can I say, preserved, you know, episode of African history. Improvement, what has been done so far? The exhibition center, cultural walk, memorial garden, and exhibition center. You'll see, as I think what one of the members are saying, maybe other in provinces, there must be some work that has been done in this site. Others, there'll be no, nothing that has happened. Alfred Batini Kuma, or the President General of the, can I correct that? Nkrumah was the President General of the African National Congress, not Gauteng African National Congress. That is from 1939 to 1949. There's a mistake there, not Gauteng. You know, and a long time resident in Sofia Town.
It's like Gauteng is wanting to dominate now KwaZulu-Natal.
I know that people talk about Nkrumah, Eastern Cape will already jump and say that Nkrumah actually came from a place called Engqoba. When he was educated in the University of Columbia, people used to slaughter, I mean, people used to sell, you know, slaughter their sheep or sell what is called mohe to ensure that he goes to school. There are communities, elders in Engqoba who can talk about how that element was educated when he went there through a community drive and initiative. He was a pride of that area. But now, many of our leaders end up in Gauteng, like Nkrumah. It was declared a national monument in 1958. The municipality had agreed that Henderson Memorial Center will operate as a museum at the house to be called the Sophia Town Museum. The city library services will place Nkrumah's historic book collection in the house as a permanent exhibition. What has been done? What to be done? Museum renovation of internal developments to the house, the patch of adjacent property. One remember, this is another challenge. Once you talk of heritage object, you talk of ownership. Like for instance, right now, many of these sites will be in private hands. And how do you deal with that? So it's another time that you've got to deal with this. You must, you know, there are those areas that you must deal with. Are you going to purchase it? Are you going to? Mr. Ndima said we'll avoid reparation. But this project also has to be the nation. Conservation management plans, you must identify the role of communities, you must identify who's cooking, who's going to do what. Ownership in that site. Family concerns as well. We've come across with this, you know, these challenges. Exhibition and setting up of library services. Fortunately, we have a guiding framework in all of this. Mpumalanga, the rise of the sun. The Samora Machel Memorial, people have spoken about it, my colleague, you know, before me. And needless to mention that he was a commander, revolutionary socialist leader, and the provincial president of Mozambique. And we've discovered, of course, that his footprints, not only are they in Buzini, there are other footprints that we want to talk about. In Botswana, for instance, there's a house where President Samora Machel, as they were fighting for the liberation of that country, was harbored in a place called Mzimtirane in Botswana, Lubase. You know, there's even a house there in Lubase where they stayed and interacted with President Nelson Mandela at that time. There's even a car that was used to actually, you know, drive them. Was he looking for that car? It was an old vehicle, actually, that was used to actually take them. There's even a daughter of the chief who really used to harbor them there in that house. And the house was in a very dilapidated condition. The sense that something must be done on that. But what is important is that the Mozambique government bought that house. It took 12 years to buy it. Fortunately, but now it has been concluded. This is where President Samora Machel was harbored. And of course, the same house next in Botswana, we have a place where President Mbeki also, harbored, and along with President Zuma, and as well as Mandu Chabalala, as they were leading the students of SAICO. Sorry. Not SAICO, SASCO. SASO, yeah. SASO at that time. I'm sorry. Students of SASO at that time. And that house is still there. Those communities can still tell you who was in that house at that time. Now there's a memorial. The memorial is managed by the provincial government. Government will have to review the provincial status of the memorial to national memorial under the Cultural Institutions Act. Now, reprioritization of budgetary provision with national treasury to be explored. What's in Mpumalanga that Pixley Isakaseme? Pixley Isakaseme would be known as the founder member and the president of the National Congress. who was one of the leading early intellectuals who recently and eloquently advanced the interests of Africans. He'd be known that he was a student in Colombia and again wrote whilst as a student, other students were asked to write what was called those famous pieces in the debating society. He wrote about a regeneration of Africa. And that piece actually is still there in the University of Columbia. And he spoke and he came back to the country of a need to fight against demon of tribalism and demon of racism. And those are episodes of Pixley Zagasem. Then interpretative center, conservation and management plan. That is what needs to be done to conserve his legacy. Born in that place is Zagasema, and that is in Mpumalanga. Kanyamazane Hill, do you remember that that hill, which is very historic, was used by youth activists in Kanyamazane? That is why in the debate around place names, there's an issue where people are changing historic places, sometimes even mountains, changing Ukatlamba Mountain, and that mountain is historic. Or I'll make an example. That's why in this framework of place name places that not only icons, but also you have got historic places like the hills, rivers, and so forth, which on their own they're talking in terms of very rich in history. Like that talk about Inguza, talk about that hill. It was on this hill that members of Lomoyo ambushed and massacred in 1986. What is not included here is that the last conference of South African Youth Congress, SAICO, actually was held in Kanyamazane. Declared the site, landscaping of the hill, interpretative center, conservation and management plan. In the Eastern Cape, that province has submitted the Bisho massacre, which will be known, the shooting that took place there when General Opagozo was the leader. This march was led by national leaders of the liberation movement. Shots were fired, exclusively killed 43 people and wounded. It's preserved. If you go to outside the Bisho legislature, you will see that there is a memorial, you know, of the Bisho massacre. What to be done? Upgrading of the monument, declaration of the site, landscaping of the park, the museum, conservation plan. I think that project is one of the very important projects in that province. Oliver Tambo sites. These are footprints of O.R. Tambo, who was the leader of African National Congress, led the organization for almost 30 years. He was then respected throughout the world as a statesman who fought relentlessly for the liberation of South Africa. The National Assembly and the Eastern Cape Provincial Government officially opened the O.R. Tambo Garden of Remembrance in honor of the Tambo family. Some of the things that have been mentioned here, if you go to that area, I will encourage members of parliament to also visit this site. You will see that there's a Garden of Remembrance that was built by the Environmental Affairs Department. Sometimes we build and don't maintain, and sometimes there's integration, what I think the chairperson of the committee mentioned. So there are some of the things but there's something that has happened there. Unfortunately, the National Department of Arts and Culture has intervened in that situation. What to be done? Declaration, interpretation center. You'll see there that there's even a house where O.R. Tambo, when he was still young, where he stayed. Rondavel, where he stayed. Maybe old chair that is there that needs to be preserved. Of course, then leather and live statute, landscaping and fencing. There's a critique that our monuments actually not strong at the moment. Before 1994, monuments were strong, like the one that we have outside Parliament. But our structure of monuments of the democratic government, there's a critique that they're not, can I say, in terms of structure, stature, not sometimes visible, and just half done sometimes. So that needs to be corrected. Garden of Ansangiru's Garden of Remembrance, said Wall of Remembrance. Those are things that actually take place there. Footprints of O.R. Tambo, a place called Kantolo, Kananda, and Homestead. There's also in Flagstaff, a school where Oware Tambo, the primary school, Holy Cross. As you know that Oware Tambo was an adorned Christian. He actually came up for that school. That is Holy Cross. Professor Robert Mangalose Sobukwe and Piaz Naudi. I know that the other members soon as I spoke about this, that these are just the only people that talk about, but I've responded already on that. What is done, the inventory in provinces and so forth. But Robert Mangalose Sobukwe, needless to preach the converted about that he was a leader of the National Congress who suffered from solitary confinement for 6 years. He was the founder of the PEC, who was highly respected even during his days in the Youth League at Forte. What is also significant about Sobukwe that the government of the time convened a special cabinet and passed a law, the Arrenza was Sobukwe clause, which only just was, you know, linked to Sobukwe only. It did not never happen in the history of South Africa. Beyers Naudi was a highly progressive South African who actively identified with the national cause to rid South Africa's oppressive and exploitative system of apartheid. Now, what is important about this is that you have a dialogue of connective history. You know, if you look at their own ideologies. But if you look at Kafrinet, Kafrinet is a place which is, can I say, marginalized. There's no life in that town. If you go there, you may want to leave immediately. That town, actually. Okay, sorry. No. Okay, but no. Now let me explain myself. I will leave that. But I'm the one or member who actually has been talking about ensuring that Sobukwe and Piers Naudi can add value to that town. Sorry, Rip, about the words that I've used, but all of them saying is that you need significant projects there. Even the one I think they applied to the National Lottery, you know, for a project. And I'm saying that if you look at the state of the, I'm saying that the economic condition of the town, it can actually, the issue of its own heritage, you know, has never been maximized. That's my point. You need to maximize it so that you can empower those people. And on that one, honored member, I can say under oath that you need that its own history talks. That history of that town, that is of an important history that town has, which I think needs to be harnessed in that way. Whether through those those icons. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about ensuring that the history of that town is in the memory lane of South Africa nationally. And that will help to put that town on the map. That I'm saying without any self-contradiction.
If you look to the democracy program of Johnny Clegg, he was highlighting those dead places in totally. Johnny Clegg, if he was supporting the documentary program of Johnny Clegg. And if the Department of Arts and Culture and Tourism can work an integrated approach, they can take their place very far. Because there is a potential. Yeah. But we will not debate on that now, Honorable Bear. When you finish with his presentation, you must keep in mind and then you can, yeah.
Bear in mind, thanks, Chaplain. I think you've echoed my statement. I'm withdrawing my statement about wanting to go and leave, but the issue is that town has a very important heritage that needs to be harnessed for prosperity.
Also, maybe just to for the time, because it's called a pastoral, I think you must try to finish up.
Okay, I've already finished now. I think I've already finished now. Mr. Mdikani, can you help me here? He's jammed. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to stay on this side. We've already spoken about this. Eastern Cape, let me just rush through these provinces now. Western Cape, Nelson Mandela, a prison, it's known, and needless to talk about it. Work that we've done, restoration of the house at the Drangenstein Correctional Services, landscaping of the site, declaration of the site, conservation management plans. My solution came about to Google it to 7. I'm not going to run away from narratives now to just talk about what to be done. Development of the memory center, declaration of the site, landscaping of the site, interpretive center, and conservation plans. Western, for the Free State, the famous Wesleyan Church, I think Mr. Ndema spoke about it. Members will read this in their own spare time because this is very much important. Restoration of the church, landscaping of the site, this one needs to be done there. In the Free State, Thabo Mafutsanyana, they were talking about grading and restoration of the house. Was in Free State, declaration and restoration of the house again of Reverend Z.R. Mahabane. One honorable member spoke about Uppington 26, which is also very much important in our history. Some people think that the death sentence was ended in South Africa by virtue of Uppington 26. But my history tells me that it was a criminal case, actually, of state versus Matanyi in 19, you know, which defined, constructed the interpretation of the Constitution in terms of the Bill of Rights. And it said that the right to life was threatened by the death sentence. Hence, the death sentence was lifted out of the criminal case, not out of Uppington 26. But let's go back to our history in that regard. But nevertheless, Uppington 26 becomes very much important. The declaration of the site, setting up of the memorial, this one needs to be done there. The Northern Cape, you can see how this project was spread throughout the country. Khaleshwe Maibuya Prison. Khaleshwe Maibuya Uprising, declaration, interpretative center, conservation and management plans, exhibition. You can see how emotional it is. Langeberg Rebellion or Uprising. What has been done there? Interpretative center. What needs to be done? I'm sorry. Declaration of the site, maintenance of existing infrastructure, conservation, management plans, and so forth. As you can see. In Limpopo, that province is submitted to rest of Limpopo, then the declaration of the site, interpretative center, conservation, management plans, and exhibition. Busa Mission Station, the declaration and infrastructure development will include an interpretive center. Shiluvani Mission Center, what needs to be done there? Remember, these places are very important to the provinces that submitted them. Some of them are not known. I like those that are relatively not known, actually, because they now form part of the national state. The declaration and infrastructure development will include an interpretation center. KwaZulu-Natal, Peter Maritzburg Station, the Magnificent Victoria Station was the setting for one of Mahatma Gandhi's most profound experiences. Work to be done. 10-1, building into museum, interpretive center, conservation management plan. Once KwaZulu-Natal, I've spoken about Johnny McCartney, we're not going to repeat that. Matiwane site, DCO Matiwane was a highly respected leader of the National Congress, Communist Party, most effective organizer at that time, along with people like Harry Gwala. Work to be done. Archiving, interpretation room and statue, conservation and management plans. Northwest. Black concentration camps and graves. As you know that the Anglo-Boer War in 1988 was defined as South African War, and therefore is part of in important story of South Africa. What this site mainstreamed was the involvement of black people against the traditional, history or its telling of that, episode. The memorial site and declaration of the site. Yes. Northwest, I'm not going to talk about that. Or Tambo escape route, the site that Or Tambo used when he left South Africa to Botswana land at the time. Declaration of the site in the British Center Conservation Management Plan. I'm going towards end. Uhuti, members will read that Uhuti, declaration of the site in the Integration Center Conservation and Management Plan. This is what will be done there. Now, what is important, honorable members? Hence, I'm also going to, yes, I'm closing. The process will be presented to the IMC for its consideration. It will be presented to the IMC. Once the IMC has applied its mind and presented to cabinet, detailed implementation plans will follow. We also want to emphasize, as I'm closing, that we don't want to deal with the issue of infrastructure and education. Yes, infrastructure and education go the same. That's what the business plan also talked about. So this is what will happen. The Eurasian Council will convene a summit, a national summit, with the aims of ensuring that we agree on the, on the national process and model, so that as a country we're at one, even in terms of assessing provincial chapters and so forth. I also would love to invite honourable members. My invitation to honourable members is in two stages. One of site visits, which is important, but also the summit itself, where really people will be looking at the progress that has been made in the past 2 years on this project and charting the way forward. And Chairperson, I'm sorry for spending some time on this, but since this project is presented for the first time to this committee, it really became necessary to, dwell much on some of the issues, so that when we come next time, we don't go back. We just, talk about the progress, which may take less than 10 minutes. But this was the first presentation that was done. Yeah, unfortunately now, Simone, we are now going to move in that regard. Thanks so much. Oh, thanks.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I will allow members to raise questions, comments, engage, all those things. There was a last before we close for tea. I think we stop with the chairperson. So I think we're going to start by your chairperson, and then the following members, and then the other members who want to engage also now in this presentation as well. If I can get those names as well. Honorable Sabalala, Honorable Jose, I think your name was O, and Tada Mavunda, and Honorable Van der Berg. Over to you, Chief.
I think, Chairperson, I think one of the issues is that to the department, NAC, we're not being impatient. We've got budget votes that it has started, so we have to finish early. And we are hungry. I've never been to Gafrenet, but I'm told it's a very small town without life. Maybe I should go and see myself. But I think, honorable members, we really needed this information. And I think we must thank especially the NHC on this issue. But one of Mr. Ndima, when he was presenting, I think, together with the NHC, it's very important. I think what Honorable Shabalala raised about the booklet is important, even to schools as well, because you see, I always say God ensured that the older generation doesn't reach the Canaan, because they had all those bad habits, you know. Like this one, some of them are not transformed. It's a reality. And the more we teach and educate these younger ones about our nation and nation building, the better, because to them they are colorblind, they see no class. And one of the issues that we must not, I'm just speaking now like a real politician, we must not think that the only people who are interested in the history is only Africans. I think we're making that mistake. Even Africans are interested. I know Honorable Van Berg will agree with this. You get young people who write to you, scholars, actually, let me put it that level, who would want to know their own history of Africaners, and they expect government to give it to them. I'm not sure whether you are aware of that, even about their sites, even about, I remember one was even saying that, what day was it, I don't remember. There are national days, but it seems black people know what happened to their history. But I don't know what's the side of Africa. Now, whether it was good or bad, we don't care, but at least a person must know. And I think also the other race groups as well, you know. There were many heroes in the Khoisans and Namas. I think Honorable Moss will be happy that she's a descendant. That would also want to know about. I think it's very important also to do that research in history. In the Indian community as well, you know. I must be embarrassed as an MP. I know about the march that Gandhi took, but I did not know which date was it. When I saw it on TV, I was embarrassed as an MP to say, I didn't know the date, but I knew there was this, historically, there was this match, you know. So those are some of the issues we must face. And I'm happy with the work that has been done. You know, I know you say you don't have budget, but let's not take time, Sarah, to accredit or your language that you use, what you call it, declare the size. You know, the sooner, the better, you know. And I think as a portfolio committee, we are going to take this oversight again on such issues, you know. And let not the history, let's also, I know there's a museum that we went to in Bloemfontein, the National Museum. It had every information. I'm just raising this out of Okonjo because it comes to the issue of letters, because we're speaking about letters. It had a history, very interesting history from the Boer to the Transvaal and everything. Came to ANC, yes, we had everything. But when it came to PAC, Azanla, because it's a war museum, that's how I saw it. The Azanla, there was nothing on them. And let's not bring the history of other people wrongly, as if they were not there during delivery. There was nothing, actually. Even the people in the museum were saying to us, help us to get whatever. I mean, we had swap, we have swap for the... We have all the liberation France, all the armies of frontline states, but we don't have our own. That played a role. I thought I should raise it here since it's part of our legacy that we're speaking about. You know, I've tried to get through some APLA and other people. So I'm just raising this. And I would like those booklets to be done, Ms. Ndima. I know you will tell me about budgets. And they must go to schools or do an MOU with education, you know. And tourism. You know, tourism is one hijacking department. You know why I'm saying this, people come to South Africa for legacy issues, tourism, and they come to talk because they want to see what they see. But they don't come to the party when it comes to issues of saying this is what we are contributing. I'm not accusing them. I've been trying to follow this up as well. And I don't know what I wrote something, but I think I don't remember what is it that I wrote here. I can't see my own writing. But it's one of those issues, and Mr. Van Lange felt, you know, those are some of the issues I'm more concerned as well. You go to Freedom Park. That's what I'm saying. Let's find a way to, unfortunately, Martin Luther King, to popularize these events. I started going to Freedom Park when I was an MP, because I had to do an oversight. I'm being honest. I just want to see. I think so. I'm not the only one. If we can count in this committee, how many? I'm just saying at the end of the day, let's try and popularize them. Because the Afrikaner communities, I don't know, I'm in love with Afrikaners. They think Freedom Park is only about our own history. I was shocked when I went there, then I saw the statue of General de la Reina. I was like, wow, okay. So Freedom Park is about our history. I'm saying these are some of the things that we should tell the public in whatever different way. Mr. Mangojo, you are doing very well. I hope they give you more money, because we need this. There is no state that has received liberation and then not speak about the liberation of their own country. It's very important. You go to the Cubans, you go to all, they speak, liberation is very important, and they value their sites. You know, heroes like in Zimbabwe, it's like their demigod that is sitting there. And this mind is only instilled by patriotism. I thought I should just... raise those issues. Thank you.
Well, follow the line like that. Yeah. There's so lots of things, but you must deal in a short time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. That's why now Sudhu is the chair. He must allow to speak at the end.
Jefferson, I'm not going to take time. Let me appreciate the work that the department will be doing, as much as it says that it must go to the cabinet for approval and the issues of the budget. I think that's what I had a concern around. I wanted to find out what is the budget projections. I would have loved to see it in the documentation, because when it comes out, we're only not narrative, but we're able to take in consideration the fact that we're going for a budget vote. We're able to speak to this documentation and be able to lift it up and say, look, this is what we'll be doing. These are the budget projections, because they are budgeted for already in the budget vote. So I'm just saying that that is one slide that I feel that we're missing in this things, but also the issues of your staffing component. I'm not saying the organogram, but just to highlight, in the vote it's highlighted. Most of these projects, and especially the sub-programs, my problem is that you find that they don't have staff complement this money that is allocated. So it might raise other frustrations at the end of the day. You know, it's good to tell us this is what you'll be doing. You find there is challenges that we might not know about. So I feel also part of the additions, maybe the next time, don't feel bad to add a bit of challenges. We don't want to deal with programs, but where there is, we need to know, so that we don't wake up with another case and scenario of another organization. I won't mention its name in this committee, the one that we always deal with. But I'm just saying that let's just ensure that there is a bit of, you know, we get a sense that, are you okay, stable component, staffing component, we are there. There is a retirement, what you call retention strategies, because without capacity, you won't be able to do all these things. I don't want to see a situation where we deal now, we speak about consultant, we speak about outsourcing every time. So that might mean that where you are sitting, we're not growing skills base and otherwise. So I feel that something that we must consider. The issue of job creation, probably something that as much as must be highlighted to say that in this project, this is what we envisage, this is what, as far as employment is concerned, is part of the national priorities. To be able to highlight, because I feel that they will create a lot of jobs, but won't be able to pick it up if we just read this is what we'll be able to do. So that is something that is not there. The lifespan of the project, if you can, because here we're mentioning this was adopted last year in 2011, this is what you've been able to do. You've not started the implementation phase, this is what you've done. But I just want to find out the lifespan. The issue of the local content, I feel that the local content we need to strengthen so that at least we're able to also profile an ordinary grandfather who's sitting in Ladini for a long time, he's 80-something years old, he's got so much knowledge, assist him to give you local content information, make a booklet out of him to give us this ordinary, normal story in the South Africa, whatever the thing. Thank you so much.
No, I'm the chair here. I'm chair this meeting. And secondly, don't leverage long on Khafrinik, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to do that. I just want to say I'm going to report you at the Anton Rupert Foundation, because the Rupert's done a lot of work in Graafrenet. Do yourself a favor and go to Graafrenet. You know, where I learned everything about Robert Sobukwe was in the museum in the main street of Graafrenet, just over the road from the Drosday Hotel. It's a big, big room they dedicated to Robert Sobukwe. You must go and see how wonderful it is. You must go to Graaf Reinet, go to the Reinet House, and see what they've done to preserve the history in that town. It's amazing. Go there. It's wonderful. Okay, there's still a lot of work to be done, but I just want to add that. Yeah, it's wonderful. For instance, when you talked about the Koma Museum in Sophiatown, you know, please give us addresses. You know, about 35 years ago, I stayed in Sophiatown, later Triumph, as they named it. But I want to, often, my constituency is in on the far west round, so I drive there a lot of time. I just want to stop there and say, okay, this is the house in Sophiatown. I know the streets and everything, but give me an address. Then, and for instance, all the sites you've spoken to today, give us a list. And one day I'm in one or other town in South Africa, then I know there is a very important house, a museum in this town. I visit museums on my own. I love it to do that, to learn about the history. Just give us a then I put it in my cupboard, and then when I'm on a tour, I can stop there and see for myself. That will be wonderful. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Blute Lewis.
That's why I was saying, Honorable Van der Berg, earlier, the integrated approach is very important between the Department of Arts and Culture and Tourism. Honorable Kunda?
I've forgotten that. Thank you, Chair. One quick note. First, let me appreciate the information that has been given to us today. I think this is more that we should have so that we can be able to deliberate effectively in most cases with the people that are hands-on on these kind of things. And secondly, it's just if we can also be privileged by more information, you know, related to the State of the Nation address for 2011 and 2012. I wouldn't like to pose it as a question, but the reconciliation, or how do they reconcile the priorities and factors that has been mentioned by the President in the State of the Nation address by 2011, whereby focus was made more on development of cultural industry, filling funded vacant posts, popularization the South African flag by placing it in school and so on and so on. When you look into the State of the Nation address for 2012, focus is made mainly on some other, upgrading, restoring, declaring, and so on and so on and so on. The department in power with what has been said by the president that this should be done in this particular financial year. For instance, if we can go for oversight, can we see much of those things that the department has already, done in relation to what the State of the Nation address has said? As I'm saying, I'm not trying to pose a question in particular per se, but what I'm saying, do we have to reconcile the budget and the work already done related to what has been said in the State of the Nation address? So the other things has already been mentioned. So I just wanted to be, if we can, as a portfolio committee, be privileged in such information if things are good, are going accordingly.
But you also must, the department must also keep in mind on the earlier question that the Honorable Emma was asking, but I will give him the right on the new presentation after tea. That is it, Clara? On the previous one, you did raise most of your question on that one.
Yes,
they
yes,
still
yes.
must respond
I
to
I won't waste time because there's no enough time yet.
Okay.
On the latter one, there's only a little thing that I wanted to indicate here. On page 3, a lot of, groupings, organizations and stuff that have been outlined, put correctly here. I think, this is lovely and nice, but I think because of the shortage of space, you have more to put here. Only when you agree that, if you had enough space, you would be putting Congress of the People here. And then the last one, the first one I wanted, the input that I wanted to put first was, had to do on page 11, about IDT, Independent Trust, which was actually mentioned on the presentation previously also, that the work has begun at Mambondo Inn, and as it has been appointed. I don't know. It was actually said that, you know, technical work. I don't know what is that. What is technical and not technical. But I thought that technicality could be seen there on site. And if yes, there is still nothing, no IDT, nothing on there. I was there, and not saying that somebody was telling lies. I was just checking on my own. There is complete nothing, no consultation with the chief. I spoke to her. It's her, it's not him. And I am really worried about this, really, you know. It means it does not deliver. But if technically you mean wet paper, then it's okay. Thank you.
Amos? I don't have much to say, safe to say. Thank you very much for this briefing. And at long last, I've seen the Pompo appearing here. It's a very long list. I hope you'll be able to go step by step to cover this long list. And as a portfolio committee, I think we shall be entrusted to have an oversight on what we're doing. Let me just make a remark about the use of IDT. You know, we visited Samora Machele Monument. You know, when I looked at that building, which was done by IDT, when IDT, I hope you go according to provinces, but it was IDT Limpopo doing the, you know, that building is just almost falling. You know, the walls as though they didn't put the, what you call it, waterproofing. I hope as you give IDT to these projects, you're going to make a follow-up, because that is a mess, and it's disappointing what's happening with the Samora Machele monument. I think if you have to restore it, you have to actually do quite a lot of, spend more money than when it was spent. Thank you very much.
I think also to close the questions in the comments, I would like to say to going back on the issue of infrastructure, as the previous speaker was speaking, on the issue of constructive development. Not just to say to putting up a museum, but tomorrow you must invest money again to restructure it. The DG said last week, on the issue of infrastructure spending, that in this budget vote, they can give that responsibility to the entities, who include people also, on the issue of infrastructure, because public works, we don't want to go into politics of public because it's not our function, but it's not our commodity. But public works don't have the capacity to doing the work of the issue when it comes to structures and those things, and maintaining and all those things. They were giving that infrastructure budget to the different entities. So there will be no excuse and saying we don't have enough funding. So they will be funding because you were getting that budget as different entities. But it's just the way you were going to use it very constructive and spend it as supposed to be spent, and not rollovers and not fruitless expenses and those things. So there will be no excuse on the issue of saying that I can't maintain the Mora Machele Museum or whatever. I just made an example. So so that one I want to correct, maybe. I don't know if you are informed about that one. But that's what the teacher was saying last week. The invitation of the summit, we want to get a date. When is the summit taking place? That one we want to get so that we can also look on our own program as the committee. and then also in the oversight, I think we want to see the projects that you raised today before our term. I think to you, Chairperson, you are the chair of this committee, and we are the members. We must check how can we accommodate, not maybe all of this project, but some of the projects that we really see, really this project. And also, as Honorable Van der Berg saying, we want the addresses of this, where this project is taking place. Because it's not only for the committee to know, but it's also for the people, the public there out, to know where these places are, when they take maybe their families of people they maybe get from outside the country, maybe visitors that they can take to this project.
Chairperson, I'm going to divide the questions. I'm just going to take a small chunk, and Sibongile will just take the Ms. Fontane another issue of curriculum and as well as other issues too. Just maybe a quick response. Okay. I think I remember, honestly, I've been to that place for more than 2 times. I know it. But yeah, I was just emphasizing on how to make it a point that the role, the richness of our heritage, you know, in more especially in small towns, is able to impact on the lives of the people. A lot of work has been done there. At the moment, you know that in terms of our economy, heritage, cultural tourism contributes a lot, but it's been understated, you know. So we want to make the point that heritage becomes an input factor in the economy, and output factor is tourism. And I think that is what it is still lacking at the moment. Go to the website of IMC, you won't see half in it. And yet it's so rich. The IMC, they talk about only 9 World Heritage sites. They don't talk about towns rich in IKS, towns rich in, you know, small towns, actually. How do you make the point that heritage becomes a cornerstone of socioeconomic development in South Africa? A diamond of South Africa now, a half in it included. That's why I thought that you misunderstand me. Thanks so much. Just quickly on the issues. In terms of budget, I'm happy to remember that we mentioned, we excluded that slide here, and Tendema is going to talk about that. Because, remember, Chabalala, that is very much important. All this, without figures, we won't be able to realize this. There are figures, you know, that are there. And, with the Heritage Council, Honourable Member Chairperson Sunduza, I would love, we have a structure, for instance, that we put in place, which is at the moment suffering, funding. You know, we're talking of provincial, provincial reps, not just reps, man, which is called provincial liaison officers outside there. People must go there and interact with provinces. And we don't have that because our budget does not allow that. I like, for instance, also we copied when we went to Cuba. Cuba, they've got what is called historian of the city. Each city has got a historian who take elders of the revolution who just go there to educate the youth. So we've got that in our structure, but it cannot be funded at the moment. You know, so we were suffering those budgetary constraints. You know, many projects come from communities that cannot be funded. I mean, there's 70 million out of 6 million that we have of projects that are coming for research, you know, and then so forth. And we're saying that, it will be, you know, if you look at the deficit or the gap that we have, we really place this in your hands, you know, capable hands, to say that please help us, most especially in this, shortcomings that are there. I spoke of staffing. I've spoken about many other things. The film, for instance, integration of our work. We have a very important project in Alice, for instance, where we are talking about the history of the city there, a project, you know, integrating the history of Makoma, you know, University of Forte, very beautiful project. Also coming together of, like, Film and Video Foundation and then so forth. I don't know so that people know that more than 30 films that have been shot in South Africa have been shot in a place called Port St. Jones. But if you look at how Port St. Jones actually benefits in that, you will find that it's a, that
dense local development, actually, becomes very much important. With the area of Ngqura that is spoken about, I've noted that, because if you don't consult with communities, the transfer leaders, I mean, most especially Ngqura was mentioned by the president in the State of the Nation, and the committees there, you know, I know the chief myself, and it's important that anything that is going to happen, they are really informed. And two last things that I want to talk about, the issue of, talking to communities. Our research is not just the research of university. It's a community collective memory. That's the asset that we use. And some of the beautiful stories come up. I mean, there's a place in Paraweth where, for instance, we came across a woman who gave birth to her a kid or child who is now 22 years in a cell. And the doctor who was actually directing her to give birth was Dr. Nombe. Really beautiful story at night. And they didn't see each other. Here's another one on this detention cell, another detention cell. Dr. Nombe commanding this woman to give birth, you know, at night. And then that woman, at the moment, we had to look for her, and we found her that she was working in Checkers. And the child is Nkululeko. But the woman actually, or the person concerned, who is considered an icon herself, was surprised to be confronted by these people with cameras to say, look, we want to do a story. And she cried and said she never thought that any person would come to her to tell her story about what actually happened. Because at the moment, she's actually not in a public stream or whatever, you know, and so on. That's the beauty of the Liberation Route, where ordinary can tell their own history. And there's a lot of discoveries that are coming. You know, the camps somewhere in Kiskamahook where people were training, some people ask, well, how did they train? The sound of a gun that was not heard at that time. And they came. They're coming forth with those stories. And it's all inside camps and so forth and so forth. Even the elders of our community, they become very much important to actually tell the history. Honourable Member Sundu, the question of Khoisan. If you look at the list, most especially in Northern Cape, there are sites that are linked to Khoisan heritage. Those sites speak to that. And I want to underscore the point that we've made that this issue is not just about Africans. That's why I was saying that it's a dynamic project that must, at the end, unite South Africans, you know, so that we're able to really not have a divided country and then move forward. So those are just areas that I just wanted to mention. And then quickly, Mr. Ndama is going to deal with the issue of curriculum. Mr. Ndama is going to cover the issues of the budget. And I think Mr. Langefeld may also deal with IDT, you know, issues that have been mentioned.
Chairperson, with your permission. Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, I just want to invite members of the Portfolio Committee to the launch of the Education Center in Grahamstown on the 7th of May. Now, this center has been formed with the emphasis of beginning to package what is happening in the heritage sector for curriculum development. So which means that we are going to be working with teachers. So what Advocate Mangocho is referring to here is going to be repackaged into curriculum review, particularly of the history curriculum, so that heritage becomes a center within the curriculum of heritage. So we will be working very closely with the NHC so that these particular projects that we are referring to begin to be packaged for curriculum use, for working with teachers, so that it's mainstreamed back into the curriculum. So that is the one particular issue. So we would like portfolio committee members to come and see this partnership between Rhodes University, where we are developing programs that are going to be accredited, and we're working with sitters so that it is a professional, the CAT sitter and the construction sitter are coming on board to assist the heritage sector in this respect. And then just to say as well that Advocate Mangochwa, the project that is mentioned here, are solely pilot projects. So SARA is also working on the side so that whatever projects that SARA declares, then NHC takes those projects on board. So as we're working with the list of women's graves, all the graves that we're working on, they're also going to be part and parcel of the reparation route. So all the project that Sarah is working for, so what he's presenting here as part of the reparation route is a snapshot of what we are calling the pilot project. So I want to assure the portfolio committee that what you see here that he's mentioning is not only what the NSC and Sarah is going to be focusing on. And then the last part is that members of the portfolio committee, a child who doesn't cry dies on its mother's back. As you can see, this work is going to be done by Sarah and the NSC. So we're also suffering serious budgetary constraints. We sit currently 41 million for all this amount of work that we do. So we plead that when we consider the budget vote, that Sarah is also considered prominently, that it's not just the issue of the NSC that is suffering financial constraints, that Sarah is taken on board. Thank you.
Just before Mr. Ndima comes in, I forgot to inform you that the summit is on the end of June. But next week we'll come up with a date where we'll invite the members to come. I like Chairperson Sunduza always challenges me to call me to say, but what has happened there? Where are the chiefs and then so on and so on? And I would love to have to ensure that the portfolio committee participates actively, you know, in this project, as she has actually demonstrated. Now, Mr. Ndima, and we'll be ready, Mr. Langafet.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe I think what I would do is to first address the issues that were raised by honorable members with regards to the first presentation, because I think that there were issues that were not addressed. First and foremost, I would like to start with the point that was made by Honorable Sunduza about the high level of concentration of these commemorative structures in KwaZulu-Natal. And I would like to take that as a very important input, you know, which should help us to, in our resolve to create that balance in all the provinces. As you can see, that when you look at the when we look at the Liberation Heritage Route, we are beginning to start looking at that balance. But we do take that point, and we do also acknowledge the fact that it could be arising out of the blind spots that, you know, when you do work, you have these blind spots. And that's why it becomes important that from time to time you interact with the portfolio committee, you interact with the communities that begin to say, hang on, what's happening here? Why are you concentrating in this area and not that area? So we really appreciate that input, and it's an input that we would take on board going forward. Then there was also an issue of raised by a honorable member about the two kind of stations, almost at the same spot. If I may say that the whole idea of Dube Trade Port, it's a concept we were told started long time ago, when the current president actually was an MEC in the Department of Economic Development in the province. They were kind of envisaging this trade port, which they call a, let me just use my, look at my notes here. It's actually an agri-processing center, which is being used to plant and export fresh fruit and vegetables. So it's a concept that was hatched long time ago. And when it materialized, there was then a need to say, if you call it the Dube Trade Port, who is Dube? Hence, the state was seen as something that, you know, when you talk about this significant infrastructure, you need to then be able to associate it with this particular individual, which it has been named after. So is the King Shaka International Airport. The idea was, you have got King Shaka International Airport. Who is Shaka? When people touch down on this particular airport, what's an association? So I think, hence, you have got these two statues almost at the same time, because these two Then let me then address some of the issues. The booklet. I think also that particular point you are taking on board, I think that it's true that all these projects that we are talking about, there must be a way of ensuring that they are captured in a much more systematic way, accessible way, so that if you want to even distribute to school children or to members of the public so that they are informed about this particular project. And also, I'm glad that the colleagues have spoken about the COI and SEN projects. Currently, in the department, there's a special project dedicated to the COI and SEN, which is designed to identify all the heritage sites associated with the history of the COI and SEN communities. And I'm sure that the portfolio committee will at some point maybe call upon us to come and present, I mean, in a much more efficient way, that particular project on its own, and so that we can even get the detail of it. There is an issue that has been raised about Department of Tourism and DAC, a need for both government departments to work together. In fact, there is already a committee, an interdepartmental committee, which consists of both departments, where we are working on an MOU between the two departments so that there are projects that we can implement jointly. Already there is a cultural tourism strategy that has been developed jointly between the two government departments. So in a way, that kind of work is happening, because we also hope that through the tourism department, they will also be able to map our heritage products so that they are accessible to local people as well as international people. Then there was an issue that was raised around some of the things that were said by the president in 2011, whether there is work that is continuing on that. I must say that yes, more particularly if you talk about the popularization of national symbols, that work is ongoing. More particularly, the Flag in Every School project is continuing. As much as one would want to increase the tempo of implementation, but it is actually continuing. Issues around cultural industries, they are really catered for within the new program, which was actually introduced by Minister Mashatile, the Mzansi Golden Economy. There are issues of cultural industries and music, which are part of the cultural industry. So there is work that is actually proceeding on that front. Maybe also to touch on the issues of infrastructure, maybe I think we need to clarify two issues. In terms of maintenance that happens in the institutions, I think the DG was talking about the maintenance. Say, for instance, if you look at museums that are existing, that have got full staff complement, that whenever there is maintenance to be done, institutions themselves must get that budget. But then, where you are dealing with new infrastructure development, it's then that we then call upon IDT to help us. So I think those are the two separate issues. Yes, it's true that the DG said the issue now will be institutions must handle their infrastructure budget, so like you have said, Chairperson, so that there's no one who's going to say, look, I have not been able, there's not been any implementation because money is sitting somewhere in the DAC, but that institutions manage that budget. But where we are building new institutions, it's there that we actually use our IDT. And then, of course, the issue of budgets. We actually contemplated over this. Do we come and present here this particular Liberation Heritage Route document with a budget which has not been approved, which we just think about, you know, that, of course, arising from the business planning process? Or will it be appropriate to present budgets if you say these are budgets that have been approved. So that's why we thought that it might be a little bit premature to come and present this document with the budget, because the members of the portfolio committee will hold us accountable at some point and say, but you put this amount of money next to this particular project. Where is it, you know? Yes, yes. That's why I'm saying, Honorable Member, we contemplated about it, but maybe, you know, we should have presented it. But that's why I'm saying that our fears were about putting something that has not been approved.
If I can intervene, if you have a business plan or for business proposals, you put a figure towards the project, although you are not getting that money up front in totally, but at least giving that people who you present the business plan to, give them a picture how much the budget will, of how much the project will cost.
Thanks, Honorable Member. I think that we will correct this in future.
Is Mr. Langhoff, have you finished? Have you covered?
Chair, thanks. There's just one or two things that I think Mr. Ndima did deal with, but some aspects were left out. In fact, there's one that was not dealt with from the previous presentation. The question from the Honourable Member would left us around Matola and the processes of the appointment of staff, whether it's an open process. Indeed, it's open. We using the appointment and recruitment processes of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to recruit both the local and the South African staff. That's the one thing. Mr. Ndima did cover the question of the booklet and the memorandum of agreement that we are signing with the Department of Tourism on the five-year heritage tourism strategy. And then just specifically the technical work on the Pondo Revolt site. It is indeed technical work. When Minister Mashatile visited the Flagstaff during Heritage Month last year as part of his program to promote the theme for Heritage Month, which was celebrating our heroes and heroines of the liberation struggle, the community convened and shared with Minister and the MEC and the mayors additional aspects that they want to incorporate into the heritage center that is being constructed. At that stage, there was already a design that the community had approved, but that design had to then be reworked to incorporate the elements that were added as a result of that a public meeting. And IDT has been in the process of incorporating those elements. And, of course, they have budget implications, and the budget had to be resubmitted to the DG for approval. And as soon as the design and the budget has been approved, Minister will go back. Minister is actually planning to go back to present the progress to the community, including the chief.
Members, we come on the end of the presentation and the deliberation. Fatima Bunda, you want to do a follow-up because it's already past one. And we have a budget vote, and there's members who have picked
it. Yeah, we're preparing our speech to go and deliver. I just want to highlight, hence I said it was not the question per se when I was talking about the reconciling of the budget given and the work done on the field. Much as we can all agree in here that we understand that this is a kind of an ongoing process by the department and not an event to say this is what we're going to do today, this is the budget and all these other things. That we do understand. What I was trying to caution was the
also with the understanding that you know the issues that the president indicated in his state of address 2011 and 2012, they are more or less the same. They are linking. So what I was trying to highlight was the fact that you find out in some other projects like the one the housing, I mean the flags in all the schools, you find out in one community they put it, you find out in one community that there's the primary and the high school or whatever, they only put it into one institution, maybe the high school and the second or the primary school, and then the indication is we are running out of the budget for this financial year. That is what I was just highlighting. Hence, my approach was this is not the question per se. Thank you.
Is it clear?
Yeah.
Members, thank you very much for attending the portfolio committee and also the department, National Heritage Council and SARA. There's for our next maybe the next quarterly meeting we have, then we must maybe look on the issue of the legacy projects, not only about a certain political party but across the political lines. As we said, we must study the nation and we must have in cohesion, so therefore we must do so. Also that we must receiving as in the next quarterly we must receiving the a study must be made about all the icons and also be put in documents to become also the legacy projects, especially in this maybe in this new financial year, if it is possible. Lastly, also that to give a booklet on this biography of special projects who actually will be taking place in the next financial year. So on that note, I thank you again for to coming to the portfolio committee, and we're also seeing out for the summit that you're talking about, the summit, and also the oversight doors or study doors or what you can say it, with the site visits. But we must make it also nice with study tours, like the one international. We only say international study tours. We must say in our own country also study tours. On that note, the meeting is closed for this side of the table. But for this side, we can. Yeah, household matters. Not long, members. Only for 2 minutes.
Thank you very much.
Not really, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Members?
Sorry, Chair. Whilst this side is leaving us, I also come from this side.